Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, a lot of energy this morning. That's awesome. I appreciate that. Well, we're going to continue on the book of Acts. We're just about done with it. I know we preached from Acts 2. That was just because it was Pentecost. We're not. Kelly thought we're going to go around Acts all over again. No. We're not starting all over. We are in Acts 26, verses 1 through 20. And this is my last shot of the book of Acts, because Pastor Rick will wrap it up here in the next couple weeks. But it's been a real joy reading this book, I tell you. So hopefully you have your outline, okay? Because we're going to talk today about learning from an expert. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked about Paul on trial before Festus. And today, it's going to be before King Agrippa. And I think I talked about being on trial and sort of a trial analogy last time, and we'll also do that today, learning from an expert. Now, when we go to court, when I've gone to court, there's many times expert witnesses, right? They'll bring in some expert. And it's always interesting when the psychologists, because they come with different theories and they have their expertise, and it's interesting. And the other day, I don't watch the show much. I was just kind of flipping channels. I think it was between ball games, to be honest. And there was one of these judge shows on or whatever. And, you know, these, I don't know how many shows they have, these Judge Judy, Judge Wapner, on and on and on. Anyway, this lady was, she bought a poodle, and it was the wrong size, and she was debating that it was not a miniature, it was a toy poodle, and they're bigger, and they eat a lot more than I thought, and she was trying to get a judgment because it wasn't the right size dog. No, brother. And that's what the judge said. And it was funny to watch the judge's reaction. He's trying to be professional. And sometimes it's got to be very difficult in some of those cases, you know what I mean? And be professional and keep your cool. But anyway, had an expert witness, a veterinarian, who came in and had all these charts about how tall, you know, a miniature is, and then the toy, and then the standard, and how much weight. And then she brought little Tootsie over, and, oh, now let's measure. And it was just ridiculous. But it was funny, and this expert witness, kind of like, on the one hand, was glad she's on TV and could promote herself, and the other hand was going, this is really dumb. That here I am, all I've been educated, and I'm going on TV for something like this. Well, an expert witness, though, has training and education, and the whole idea the judge and the attorneys bring that person up is what? To persuade that they know what they're talking about, and their knowledge will be used to support the case of whatever it's the defendant or the plaintiff, whatever, right? Well, here we have an expert witness par excellence of how to witness. How to witness, who better to ask? Who better to model than the Apostle Paul? And I knew that before, but even more now that we've gone through the book of Acts. This guy's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And he would be the first to say, it's not me, but it's Christ living in me. Amen? It's all Jesus. All Jesus shining through the Apostle Paul. So let's dig right in. Actually, the first three points are introductory points. But the first is, number one, get excited about sharing the good news. We're going to talk about witnessing. First of all, we've got to get excited about the faith, right? Otherwise, we got nothing to share. If we don't look very excited and act very excited, as you are today, you're with me. Thank you. Thank God. You're all with me today. And I appreciate that very much. And when we are excited and smiling and joyful about the faith, it makes a difference, because it shows that our face is in line with our heart, and we're radiating His love and His joy. And Paul couldn't wait. This guy's amazing. He couldn't wait any opportunity to witness, to be, whether it be kings, VIPs, or the lowliest of the low. It didn't matter to Paul. But he was prophesied that he would speak before kings, and here we go. He's speaking before King Agrippa. Now, I remember meeting some VIPs, and Awatuki, and different movie star and athletes, and I blew it because I was so nervous. I didn't think, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Don't worry about who you're meeting, because you're actually presenting a VIP to them. And I eventually learned that, but at first I was so tongue-tied and starstruck that I just kind of, oh, hi. I remember meeting Chuck Swindoll. I went to his church. This guy's on radio, and he has this big church. He was in Fullerton, California back then. And my kids, Christy and Jeremy, with me, and my wife at that time, and we both went up, and I got so nervous, I just stared at him. I go, hi. And so my little boy, little son, he goes, this is Perry, my dad. I'm Jeremy. This is Christine, and this is Cindy. He goes, and Chuck says, well, nice to meet all of you, and you too. I blew it. But anyway, Paul was excited to share the good news. He couldn't wait. And in fact, he says, when Agrippa said, "You may speak for yourself," he says, "King Agrippa, I am glad for this chance to defend what? Myself, but more importantly, the faith." He just goes, "All right, here we go. I can't wait to share." So may the Holy Spirit give us that joy and that excitement to share the, was it bad news, boring news, old news? No, what does it say? Good news. This is good news. Jesus came, took all of our sins away, washed us clean. And I love that illustration that Nikki Gumbel had that Pastor Rick reminded us Wednesday, like white windshield wipers. Remember? Oh, somebody went. Anyway, we sin all the time, right? And those windshield wipers, they keep going and keep going. So we sin, we're forgiven. We sin, we're forgiven. We sin, we're forgiven. Not that we just continue in it, but you know, because of our weakness, of our sinful nature, God forgives us over and over as we stay in faith in Him and have repentant hearts. That is good news. Amen. Thank you. And secondly, we hold on to hope because Paul knew that the reason he was on trial, he says, because of this hope, the Jewish leaders had brought charges against me. The hope of what? The hope of the Messiah. That all those promises in their own Bible that they are all raised with, it's about Jesus. And they can't see Jesus. And He's all through the Old Testament. And that is a fun Bible class. One of my most fun Bible classes to do is find Jesus tucked away in all the nooks and crannies and all over the Old Testament because He's all over the Bible, all over the Old Testament. And it's awesome. In fact, when He shared that on the first Easter to His disciples, they said, "Our hearts burn within us as He shared this good news about Himself." Amen. All right. So hold on to hope. That's what Paul did. He could stand in front of all these people fearlessly, joyfully, firmly, confidently, boldly because of this hope, right? He knew he wasn't alone. That if there was no one else around him, he was not alone. God was with him. And so he would hold on to hope. And last Friday night, one of my friends is a psychologist and a pastor, Gene Holloway, preached on hope. It was really good because people were caught in addictions or codependency or hurts or hang-ups or all these things. Will focus on God. And then they'll try and then they'll forget. And they'll give up hope after a while when they relapse or things get bad. And we see that here. People we brought to faith, you know, we work with. And there are times when we all relapse and we all backslide. But the good news is that we still have hope. God doesn't say, "Well, I'm done with you. Get out of here." We hold on to this hope that we have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us, and there is always hope. And what's very sad is when people give up hope, right? That is so sad. We've all seen people who have this hopeless resignation about life and have given up their dreams. But the neat thing is a Christian can hold on to hope and share that hope with others. And the next introductory point of witnessing and being learning from an expert witness is remember the resurrection. I love this, where Paul in the middle of it says, "Now, why should any of you doubt that God raises the dead?" Earlier he said, "I'm on trial also because of the resurrection." Because Festus or Felix, they get the two guys mixed up. One of them said, well, just kind of scoffed. You're going crazy. You're mad with all your learning. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And you're crazy. And Paul realized that the Christian faith stands or falls on the resurrection of Jesus, right? But it stands and rises on the resurrection. If He did rise from the dead, and we know He did, and it's true, we have hope, and we have joy, and we have purpose. Because He lives, I can live also, right? That no matter what I go through, no matter what you go through, He is alive. We have a religious leader alive who's, amen, thank you, and He has risen from the dead, and He has defeated all our enemies. It would have been nice last night if the Suns had won. It would have been real nice, right? But suppose this. Suppose we knew ahead of time. And I used to love this. I'd tape a game if I had a church meeting or at church service. And if somebody would, I'd try to ask the whole congregation member in St. Louis, "Don't tell me who won. Don't tell me who won. Don't tell me who won." I'd tape the game and I'm going to watch it after evening service, whatever. And somebody would naturally sneak it through. Or I'd turn on the radio. "Oh, this news. The St. Louis Cardinals just won." But then when I'd watch the tape, I could relax through the game knowing, oh, the Suns or Cardinals, whoever won, so I could relax and see how they won. The same with us. We get so uptight. I get so uptight. I forget. I'm on the winning side. He's already won the victory. It's not like, "Oh, I hope Jesus wins." He's already won the victory. And I can just watch the tape of my life and see how God shows up. Not if He'll show up, but how He'll show up. I'm not preaching myself here, because that's a good message. It didn't come from me. That the Lord is reminding us it's not if, it's how He will. Ooh. So, remind me of that, okay? And I'll remind you. Is that a deal? All right? Okay, amen. Remember the resurrection. All right. Christ is risen. Amen. We can say that even in the Trinity season, Pentecost season, not just Easter season, since it's liturgically correct. All right, D. Paul went on and he went through his whole story, verses 4 through 18. And this is interesting because he talks about how strict he was and that he was in the strictest group of Judaism. Now, the reason he said that was that he knew all the customs, all the laws, all the traditions, back and forth, inside out. He knew how to be a good church member. He'd make sure everybody would toe the line. He knew. So to have this dramatic conversion from Judaism to Christianity was dramatic because he knew the Jewish faith. I mean, he was the biggest proponent of anybody. He talked about trying to get people killed and forcing families and little kids to deny Jesus and threatening to kill them all and making sure they got killed and going to other cities. You talk about somebody's intense about their faith. He's like a terrorist, you know. He said, I'm going to kill on the name of God. Well, there's something wrong with that, isn't there? But Paul did that. But then he shared what happened to him on that one day on the road to Damascus on the way to kill people. I bet those people were glad that Paul got converted, right? Before he ended up in Damascus. But anyway, he says, about noon, verse 13, I saw a light brighter than the sun. It flashed from heaven on me and on everyone traveling with me. We all fell to the ground. Then I heard a voice say to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you so cruel to me? It's foolish to fight against me. Who are you? I asked. And the Lord answered, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you were so cruel to. Interesting side note, Jesus identifies with our pain and rejection. He says, when they persecute you, they're persecuting me. When you get hurt, I feel hurt too. So that's good to know. But here is the point. The expert witness comes down from his witnessing stand and says to us today, if Paul could be here, he'd say, share your story. It may not be like me. You may not be called to speak before VIPs and kings and hundreds and thousands of people, but what's your story? What's your Damascus Road experience? What were you like before you knew Jesus? Tell people that and be honest and open what your life was without God and what is it like now with Jesus in your life. How has your life changed? And hopefully it has been changed. And since it has been, how has it changed? And show it in your life, but also show it in your words, because otherwise somebody will say, well, I want to be good. I want to be a good Christian like Keith. I want to go to church like Keith. And they watch the way Keith lives and they think, well, it's because of good works that he's doing this and he's going to heaven because of his good works. They can imitate what Keith does, but not have Jesus in their heart. So Keith needs to, and he does, would tell people, it's not about me, it's about Jesus asking him into your heart, and he died for you, accept that free gift, and then your life really takes off. So the homework, remember last week, was think about your story, your witness. How has God changed your life? And just think about that some more, and maybe even write it down. We're not good as Lutherans praying out loud or witnessing, but maybe start with your family or fellow Christians here. Just practice on somebody and say, well, this is what God's done throughout all my life. Oh, our God or help in ages past. Think about all through your life how God's been there all the time. And He has a real good track record, right? And the longer we're Christians, we see that track record in our lives with the lives of others, that God is faithful. And we testify to Him of what God has done in our lives. And that's what a witness does. A witness comes up and doesn't say, well, I heard this. Oh, hearsay, out of order. That witness is called to only speak of what they have experienced, what they've heard, what they've seen, their own life, right? And that's what we're called to do. You don't have to be an expert theologian. You can say, I don't know, I'll get back to you. And because we get paralyzed by not knowing everything. You would be surprised how many times they go, I don't know, I'll check it out. I don't have it all in my memory banks, all the commentaries I've read 30 years ago in seminary. Sure don't, that's for sure. More and more of going away, it seems like my memory faileth. But we are called to witness. Also, we're called to center on Christ. Because Paul always focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right? Always about Jesus, always about Jesus. And all the apostles focused on Jesus, and people said, even the enemies took note that they had been with Jesus, Acts 4 says. They took note that they're not schooled, educated men, that they've been with Jesus and they've been changed. So what does Jesus mean to you? What has He done for you? What has He done for everybody? That we were hopeless and helpless without Jesus, but He took all our sin and gives us eternal life as a free gift. So that's the expert witness. That's what He tells us to do. And next He says to listen to the Lord and ease. Listen to the Lord. Paul said, the Lord also said, I will protect you and I am sending you. What is God saying to you? Well, first of all, you have the Word of God. You can find out what God says to you. But then sometimes God takes that general word and makes it a personal word, and you just know. Have you ever been in a Bible study or a sermon or something, and you just know that what you heard, that was for you. It became real personal, right? Like, wow, I need that. Like, how did Pastor know? Well, we have ways. See, we have the spy network out there. We know everything. No, hardly. It's all the Holy Spirit. And He'll bring something. One time, more than once, I've had somebody say, I said something. I didn't even say it. But they heard me say that, and God used that. And I think that's what's really cool. I didn't even say it. Like, that was a good point, but I didn't say it. That's the Holy Spirit. That shows that He's active right now. He just stirs it up. It's so awesome. It is so awesome. Praise God. So we listen to the Lord. We listen to His Word, and He'll help you out when you witness. He will help you out. He will help you out, and He'll show up. It's been amazing this past week. It's been one of the most amazing weeks at Touchstone I've ever had, because it started on Monday with baptizing a lady I told you about who was dying of cancer. And Rosie was an awesome... I told some of you, but others of you don't know, but God showed up in a big way. And right after the baptism, they took a picture of us. And as the picture developed, I haven't seen it yet, but she says there's a shining figure behind us. And she goes, there's no glare. And she goes, I think that's an angel there who showed up. Because she says, I felt, did you feel? Like, oh yeah, I felt something. Someone was there. The Lord was there. And so that happened. And then some unbelievable experiences meeting with parents and families. And a couple families said, we're going to start going to church. And it is so awesome. You know, it really is awesome when we have apostolic action. We're sent out right outside of the church, and we see God using us. It's exciting. It really is. You go, wow, God used me at Touchstone, not just at church, but out there. It was really, really cool. Well, then later I had one little guy. It was during the Suns game the other night, and I thought, well, okay, Lord, I'm listening to the Suns, and it's time to go into the house. And I'll call him Eddie. Eddie has this problem of explosive anger. Sweet kid in the world, but then his brain doesn't function right, and the wires are crossed, and all of a sudden he'll just go into a rage and put holes in the walls and just all kinds of stuff. And then he'll feel awful and doesn't even know what happened to him. And so he comes, and there's a malfunction. He's autistic and different things going on in his mind and his brain. But anyway, he picks up on stuff. He sees angels. He has a real super sensitivity to the Lord, and he loves the Lord. So we've hit it off. The dad's this engineer. Goes, oh, yeah, here comes that religious guy. And we're having a deep conversation, Eddie and I. It is great. Well, anyway, one of our coworkers who has done wonders in that family, who is outstanding, and I referred this person to them, she told me in front of the whole group that she's leaving Touchstone. I didn't know that. And I go, what? You can't leave. And I'm just kind of out of my professional realm going, no, you can't. And Mom said, I just got over that, Perry. We don't need to take care of you here. You're here to take care of us, remember? But anyway, Eddie came over, gave me this hug. It was like a supernatural hug, and I'm not kidding you. It's like all the sadness went away when he gave me this hug. And it was amazing. And we had this connection. It's really, really, really neat. So that happened. And the next day I went to another family, and God's Spirit fell on them. And this mom helped another. She didn't even know this, that I knew this grandparent had took in 8 kids. And she's helping the grandma because I couldn't help anymore, and I prayed that God would send somebody. Well, she sent this person who's been to our church a few times, April. God sent April to meet this grandma who's taking care of 8 kids to do the things that I couldn't do. See how God works? And then I go from that house to another house. Get this. This is a family that has a sweet boy He looks like Jeremy, real neat looking kid, and nice, great heart. And he was been their only child. Well, they brought in full-time, one teenager has a lot of problems, and part-time, another one. So these two teenagers have taken over the place, and this guy feels totally left out. I used to have mommy and daddy all to myself, and he's this very sensitive kid, so he's not used to sibling rivalry and all this kind of stuff. And he's just like, hey, this isn't fair, and he feels really left out. Well, the dad, with all the stress of the teenager, was in the hospital last weekend with a mini stroke. And it's just a whole lot to this. But anyway, he was stressed out that weekend. This little guy, he has a pet lizard. Now, not like these typical desert lizards. It was the bearded dragon lizard. And it's, you know what I mean? It has personality. It's like, oh, it's a lizard. But this guy has personality. He really does. But anyway, the lizard got very sick on the same weekend that the boy's father got sick. And this little guy is scared. He said, hey, my dad's sick? My pet, Bernard the lizard, is sick. And Bernard died that weekend, and the dad's in the hospital. And the dad came home, but the lizard's still dead. Now, to understand this, they live way out in Buckeye. They have cows and horses and all kinds of animals. They know animals, okay? They work with animals. They're with them all the time. And they said, Terry, you won't believe this. That lizard was dead. It was stiff. It was dead. It was not playing dead. It was dead as dead can be. This little guy, he was so upset. All night long, he's kneeling beside of the bed praying for Bernard, the lizard. God, Jesus. And the dad comes by. Here's him at midnight. Jesus, please bring back to life Bernard. Please bring back to life. Bring life into Bernard. 2:00 in the morning, he's still praying. 4:00 in the morning, he's still praying. And so the mom and dad are going, oh, we're going to have a funeral. Maybe you should call Perry to do a funeral for Bernard. And they're going, oh, boy, this is awful. Guess what? And they told me this. They said, Perry, you won't believe it. They got up in the morning. That lizard was just as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as can be. And they said, I know you won't believe this. That lizard was dead. And Jesus healed that lizard. He saw the prayer of that little boy, right? That's faith. And I know it sounds weird, first of all, yeah, right, but it really happened, and they brought that lizard back, and they said, now he's a little mentally off after being a little, you know, dead for a while. But they brought that lizard, and I'll be doggone. I said, we're going to make this lizard more famous than that gecko lizard, you know, it's on the insurance, but you see how God works, and I've told this to pastors in Tucson and now to you and over the internet. That's a witness that God cares about the prayers of a little boy who feels all alone. And that wakes up the world that this is a God of the supernatural. So we want to listen to the Lord, like this little boy. I think he just felt Jesus telling him, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Now, F, we want to look to the light of Jesus and stay with his vision for our lives. Paul said, I obeyed this vision from heaven. Pastor Rick talked last Wednesday about, from 1 John 1, about that Jesus is the light. Not knowledge and not new age, but Jesus is the light, right? And in him there is no darkness. And if we live in Jesus, there won't be darkness. We'll sin, and we acknowledge that. However, we don't live in just total, like, I'm going to live any way I want to because without Jesus will forgive me. And so Paul talked about this, obeying this vision and being faithful to God and stop sinning and showing their actions, by our actions, that our faith is really true. But Paul had this vision, and he listened to that, or he looked to Jesus, he looked to the vision given by Jesus, and he stayed with his vision for his life, no matter what it was. And the question I have when we witness is, what is your vision for your life? What do you see God doing for you beyond just, well, I'm going to live another day? Look at and pray about God's vision for you. God's vision for you. Because he has a plan for you, has a plan for me. And he wants us to have open eyes and see what God is doing, what he's up to in the world, and how we can be a part of that. And that's so exciting. It's wonderful to have a vision, to have a vision for our life and for our families and for our church. And may the Lord give us that vision as we learn from this expert witness in the book of Acts. In Jesus' name, amen. And we pray, Lord, help us to get excited about the good news. Amen. Help us to hold on to hope, to remember your resurrection, and listen to you and look to your light, Lord Jesus, to shine in the dark places so we don't have our vision clouded with all that we see going on bad around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.